Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Archie, Volume 4, by Mark Wade and Pete Woods. Narrated by Bradley Foster Smith and performed by a full cast.
Chapter 1. No reason.
Archie Andrews gives his upswept red hair one final go-over in the mirror, then flips up the collar of his blue dress shirt and wraps a necktie around his neck. His fingers fumble with the knot, and it comes out wrong, so he tries again. He struggles clumsily with the necktie, knocking over a lamp, and makes a series of intricate loops around his face.
Dad!
Fred Andrews comes into the cluttered bedroom and sees his son's face wrapped like a mummy. Father extricates son from the bind he's in yet again and shakes his head as he ties a proper Windsor knot.
Sometimes I swear you're the mailman's son.
Archie grins sheepishly at himself in the mirror.
Night of romance, here I come. See, Veronica's back after a semester away at some fancy Swiss boarding school. This is our first real date since she's been home, and I want it to be special.
Archie gives the stink eye to his piece of junk car in the driveway.
Meaning, I'm not taking any chances with the clunker.
He takes out his phone, opens an app called Ride Car, and hails a driver.
So what if I'm burning through my savings?
Archie looks pleasantly out the window as he makes his way toward downtown Riverdale.
She's worth it.
The driver squints at him in the rearview mirror.
Hey, didn't you work for us once?
A day? Why?
The driver suddenly recalls the day that a red-headed teenager briefly worked for the company and managed to get a ride car stuck in a tree. The driver locks his eyes with the road and tightens his grip on the wheel.
No reason.
The ride car passes Betty Cooper and Dilton Doily, who walk side by side along the sidewalk. The bookish Dilton looks uncomfortable and turns apologetically to the tomboyish blonde.
I'm sorry, Betty. I forgot the science museum was closed on Tuesdays.
That's okay, Dilton. It's not really my thing, anyway.
Thanks for coming out.
Oh, sure.
Not sure of what else to say, the two of them walk wordlessly along, Dilton thinking of Betty, and Betty thinking of Archie.
Misfiring bad.
Transmission knock. It'll burn out his catalytic converter.
They stop walking and Betty peers down the street.
If it hasn't already. Look at how old that car is. Cat's only good for 200,000 max.
Unless it's contaminated by raw fuel, which will overheat it, clogging up the exhaust system so the motor can't breathe.
Betty and Dilton smile at each other.
You know cars?
They're science machines.
Follow me.
Chapter 2. Detective Jughead Jones.
You don't understand, Pop. I'm starving. You'd let me waste away?
No more credit, Jughead.
Pop Tate, owner of the local diner Pop's Chocolate Shop, is deaf to the pleas of the skinny, beanie-crowned teen begging at his counter.
I just watched you eat what had to be an entire cow. Where do you put it all?
Can't answer. Weak with hunger.
We can fix that.
Jughead Jones turns to see the identical red-haired twins, Cheryl and Jason Blossom, smirking like cats that ate the canary.
We can buy you all the burgers you can eat.
For a month.
Jughead gets off his stool nonchalantly.
No thanks, Wonder Twins of Evil.
He starts to go, brushing past the two.
All I ever want to get from Cheryl and Jason Blossom is a postcard from Antarctica.
Jughead, please.
Cheryl bites her lip and grabs a hold of his arm.
We need you.
You must. You finally got my name right.
You're smart. Street smart. Probably more than anyone in Riverdale.
Juggy rolls his eyes.
What do you want?
We need to know why our daddy is hiding his money from us, pretending that we're poor.
You drive matching Beamers.
Poorer. Dig around. Just try. Just give it an effort and will.
She glances over at Jason, who nods, then back to Jug.
We'll cover your tab here for 2 months.
2 months of free burgers?
Jughead Jones tips back his crowned beanie like a fedora and raises an eyebrow.
I'll take the case.
Chapter 3, Double Date.
Archie Andrews sits at a table in the fanciest restaurant in Riverdale. He remembers working here last summer. For a day. He adjusts the knot of his tie nervously, not quite sure what to do, and checks his watch. Just then, the maitre d' arrives and pulls out the chair opposite of him.
Hey, you.
Veronica Lodge sits down and beams a radiant smile. Archie is dumbstruck.
What?
It's just... I'd forgotten how beautiful you are.
Thank you. You're not so bad yourself.
The maitre d' begins to walk away, then double takes at the red-haired lad sitting at the table. The maitre d' dashes for the kitchen doors and slams through them, spilling the trays of several of his fellow waiters. He skids to a halt in front of a poster plastered to the wall that shows a tuxedoed Archie wearing a bowl of linguine on his head, above the words, "Wanted for crimes against waitering. Approach with extreme caution." Back out in the dining hall, Veronica and Archie are in the midst of an awkward silence.
It's so good to have...
Oh, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
Just that it's so good to have you back.
Behind Archie, the kitchen door slowly opens and three waiters peer out from behind it.
I don't want anything to ever separate us again. I can't believe your dad isolated you like he did. No one knew where you were.
The waiters tiptoe toward Archie, holding up a large burlap sack.
But all that matters is that we're a couple again, just exactly like we used to be.
The waiters are about to bag their freckled target when Veronica notices them and holds up a hand, shooing them away. Archie remains, as always, blissfully unaware.
What was Switzerland like?
Well, you know how fresh the air is in Calgary?
Not really.
It's not as clean as in Stockholm, but it's miles above Katsuyama, let me tell you. Daddy had me studying finance, n'est-ce pas?
I don't know what that last part means.
Oh, I was speaking French again, wasn't I? Forgive me. Let me tell you about some of these girls. There was one girl, her family's company had a price-to-earnings ratio of 5. 5!
Price-to-earnings ratio.
I know, right? I'm stunned the poor dear could afford to come to class. Oh, speaking of classes, you know what I learned? That with target date funds, glide paths have to be monitored. Did you know that?
Archie earnestly shakes his head no, and his eyes glaze over.
Tactical asset allocation, blah, 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 blah.
Veronica cheerfully talks about things that Archie cannot possibly understand.
Blah, 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 beep, boop, bop, beep, blah, blah, blah. And what did I miss while I was gone?
Same old.
Surely something happened.
The Cubs.
The Cubs? Bear Cubs?
Chicago Cubs, an unbelievable World Series.
Veronica's eyes glaze over.
Oh, Zobrist was on fire. The last game, went into extra innings. Oh, and in the 10th, he blah, 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 and blah,
Archie
blah, blah, blah,
cheerfully
blah,
talks blah, about blah, things blah, that blah, Veronica blah, cannot possibly blah, understand.
Chapter 4, The Temptation of Dilton Doily.
At the Riverdale Auto Show, Dilton Doily and Betty Cooper wander around like kids in a candy store.
This
is
awesome!
They grin at each other.
Did you see the new design of the Romana Clay?
Aerodynamically sound. The downforce will really improve the traction.
I was thinking the same thing.
Everyone's rolling out autonomous vehicles.
In principle, I'm not opposed, but if their systems are hackable because the Wi-Fi isn't randomized...
Right. Now, if Tesla would just listen to me about how to ramp up battery life...
You've contacted them?
They won't return my emails.
Betty grabs Dilton's hand.
Come on, let's go look at the vendors.
Dilton beams as Betty leads him off the main floor toward the myriad of vendor booths set up along the wall. Suddenly, a beefy hand claps Dilton on the shoulder.
Check it out, son. High-end NASCAR grade tires.
Dilton smiles meekly at the salesman and hooks a thumb toward Betty.
Actually, she's the...
The salesman hooks a meaty arm around Dilton's shoulders and draws him in close, leading him a few steps out of Betty's earshot.
Son, I'm giving you an opportunity to look really masterful about cars.
You don't understand.
Women, hold us in their area, kid. I'm gonna feed you some smart questions. You go out there, repeat them, and you're gonna look like a tiger. You ready?
Before the boy can object, the salesman has his hand cupped to Dilton's ear.
Now play along if you want a dazzler.
The salesman gives Dilton a light shove back toward Betty and grins wolfishly.
So, son, any questions?
For a moment, Dilton looks unsure.
Yes. Betty?
Their eyes meet, and Dilton blinks.
How do you decode tire numbers?
Betty gives an easy shrug.
The first three digits are the tire width in millimeters, sidewall to sidewall. Last two are the ratio of height to width. Throw an R in there to denote radials.
The salesman's grin fades.
What kind of carburetor would you put in a 65 Mustang?
Probably a Holley 4160 series 4V600 CFM with electric choke.
Fastest road car?
McLaren F1. So sexy.
Betty glances over at the speechless salesman.
But you know all that. Why the quiz?
The vendor said this isn't your area.
They share a knowing grin.
He was wrong.
Chapter 5, Jughead Jones, Gumshoe.
It's night in the wealthy suburbs of Riverdale. A fuchsia sports car pulls to the curb in front of the Blossom residence.
Okay, we're paying you to detect. Go!
Jughead climbs out of the car. Cheryl and Jason Blossom stick their heads out after him.
Be sneaky. Be stealthy. Whatever it takes.
Jughead adjusts his crowned beanie like a fedora and walks up the driveway toward the Blossom Mansion. The Blossom twins watch with bated breath from inside the car as Juggy walks straight up to the front door. He sticks his hands in his pockets and waits. Patience is every detective's most useful tool. The door opens and Mr. Blossom, a grim-faced man with thinning red and silver hair, peers out expressionlessly.
Hi. Why are you hiding your money from your kids?
Mr. Blossom stares stone-faced at Jughead, then slams the door in his face. Jughead shrugs and moseys back down the driveway. The Blossom twins hop out of their sports car, livid.
You call that an investigation?
You're a lunatic!
You think anyone in Riverdale wants to help the Blossom kids after what you've done?
Jug tilts his beanie at the twins and walks away.
All I had to do was try. Now, I'm a guy with a 2-month tab at Pops. Night.
Chapter 6. Coil Pack?
Meanwhile, across town, Archie and Veronica sit side by side in the back seat of a ride car. Their bodies are relaxed, but their faces are numb. Archie's gaze drifts out the window, and he catches a glimpse of Betty Cooper walking side by side with Dilton Doily.
So his engine sputters and pops like a balloon, right?
Coil pack?
That's what I thought at first. Then I checked the plug.
The driver turns a corner, and Archie loses them. He turns to Veronica as if to say something, but she is staring out the other window, lost in her own thoughts.
And that's how I'd satisfy both cafe requirements and zero emissions mandates.
Oh, that's smart.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dilton.
Dilton and Betty come to a stop in front of the Cooper's front door.
I had a really good time hanging out.
Me too.
He swallows nervously and looks up at her.
Do you think, maybe we could, go, out sometime? Out?
Betty blinks.
Oh, honestly, I'm awfully busy for a while.
No, that's okay. I understand.
Dilton keeps a brave face and turns to go, waving goodbye.
See you around, gearhead. Take care.
Inside, Betty leans against the front door as her mom walks into the foyer.
Hello, sweetie. Did you have a nice night with that Dilton boy?
Betty thinks about the question.
You know...
A few blocks away, Dilton stops walking and takes his phone from his pocket. He sees he has a text from Betty.
How about Thursday?
Meanwhile, the security gates of Lodge Manor open, and Archie's ride car drives up the cypress-lined driveway to the front of the mansion. He gets out and escorts Veronica to the door. She seems unusually quiet to Archie.
Ronnie, you okay?
Certainly. Why do you ask?
You just seem different now.
She frowns and shakes her head.
I'm just tired. That's all.
Veronica opens the front door and steps inside, then turns back to Archie.
So, we're good?
Sure.
She smiles at him.
Night, sweetheart.
She shuts the door, and Archie Andrews is alone.
Chapter 7. When all is sad and done.
Archie's piece of junk car is pulled over on the shoulder of a road in the countryside. He is knelt beside his wheel with an emergency lug wrench. Veronica sits inside the car in the passenger seat. She does not look pleased.
You couldn't check your tires before we left?
Who checks tires?
We're going to miss the whole balloon fest.
It's raining anyway.
See why things are a mess? Ordinarily, when something this annoying happens, Veronica and I would be laughing, just trying to get through it, together. But since your dad sent her to that boarding school for a while, forcing us to learn to live without each other, we kinda did.
When you're done, just take me home.
Veronica scrolls through her phone while Archie sets the spare tire in place.
And now, it's just not the same. If you think being lonesome and all alone is hard...
Archie looks up at the sky miserably as it begins to rain harder.
Try being lonesome with somebody.
The tire changed. Archie drives Veronica back to the Lodge mansion and sees Veronica to the door. She pauses in the doorway, a sad expression on her face.
I'm not really mad at you, Archie.
I know. Me neither. It's just...
Veronica closes the door.
Life.
She walks over to a window and watches Archie get in his car and drive away. Her father, Hiram Lodge, passes by on his way to his study, but stops when he sees his daughter staring mournfully out the window at the rain.
Sweetheart? What's wrong?
Veronica doesn't look at him.
Nothing.
Lodge strokes his bushy gray handlebar mustache, deep in thought. Later in his study, he approaches his faithful butler, Hubert Smithers, who wears a white apron over his tuxedo as he dusts.
You're far too frequently the wisest man in this mansion, Smithers. You saw Veronica's mood?
I did, sir. Dreadfully unhappy, as she has been since we returned to this scourge-ridden dale of rivers. Might I make a suggestion as how to best cheer her?
That's why I asked.
What is the modern-day equivalent of an arranged marriage?
Lodge's eyes brighten, and he walks over to his desk.
Give yourself a raise.
Oh, seeing Miss Veronica happy is always compensation enough, sir.
The smart money is to find her some new boyfriends.
Lodge begins navigating through the address book of professional contacts on his computer.
By flooding her with candidates of my choosing, we can prevent another Andrews.
A laudable goal, sir. You have taken into account Miss Veronica's rebellious streak.
Smithers raises a finger knowingly.
I fear that any effort to supplant the Andrews boy might, if exposed, redouble her attraction to him.
Then let's make sure she never finds out.
Lodge brings up the contact listing of one Carson Davenport. Age, 17. Activities, crew, debate. Parents, Theodore Evelyn. Leverage.
Davenport, thank you.
Ted! Hiram, how's the art?
Hiram, are you calling to...
No, I'm not calling to repossess. I'd like to talk about your son, actually. Right around Veronica's age, is he?
Chapter 8. Spit Take.
Archie Andrews is determined to get away from it all. Despite the still pouring rain, he decides to load up the car and head out to Bowling Woods for an impromptu overnight camping trip.
Veronica, I don't say this nearly enough, but I am very proud of the young woman you've become.
Oh?
Hiram Lodge is seated at the desk in his study. His daughter stands before him.
No reason to look so suspicious. The fact is, I'm not going to be running my businesses forever. But when the time comes, I know you'll be ready. The question is, who will be there to help you?
Lodge takes a computer printout from his desk drawer and hands it to Ronnie.
That's why I created the Teen Achievement Award. I'm assembling these pre-tested finalists at a banquet tonight, and I want you to choose the winner.
Tonight?
Hiram stands and puts one arm around his daughter's shoulder, while his other sweeps slowly across the air in a grand gesture.
Lodges don't put things off, Veronica. We act on ideas before someone else gets wind of them. Viral and disruptive innovations will come from your generation's leaders, Veronica. You should have a voice in choosing them.
Hiram Lodge smiles tenderly at Veronica.
So what do you say, sweetheart?
She looks down at the printout skeptically.
Gotta fly, gang. Just came for a quick soda. I need the energy, believe me.
Veronica, dressed in a stylish plum raincoat, gets up from her stool at the crowded counter of Pop's Chocolate Shop.
Did I mention I'm presenting the Teen Achievement Award tonight?
Oh my God.
Maybe a few times.
Did I mention I'm giving my dog the bath achievement award tonight?
Veronica gives Jughead the stink eye.
Don't be petty.
Juggy shrugs and sips from his soda.
You know, Jughead, while you stuff your face with junk and snark at everything with a pulse, some of us are trying to make a difference.
What difference?
Ronnie strikes a haughty pose.
Viral and disruptive innovations will come from our generation's leaders. I have a voice in choosing them.
Jughead spit takes soda all over the counter.
Oh, Jug.
Pop Tate comes over and wipes down the mess with a rag.
Sorry, Pop. I couldn't help.
What's so funny, Jughead?
Jug swivels his stool to face Veronica, who glowers at him.
Viral and disruptive innovations? Who talks like that?
My very successful billionaire father?
Veronica, words like that don't make sense. They just sound important. I mean, can you name three viral and disruptive innovations?
Veronica is uncharacteristically speechless.
You're smart, Veronica. Smarter than this, anyway. Instead of letting your dad dazzle you with buzzwords, why not find out what he's really up to?
Because it...
Veronica storms out of the diner, clutching her umbrella.
Because a teen of achievement doesn't use cynicism to try and ruin everything that's any good.
Jughead looks out at the rain.
Archie's not with her.
Nope.
Juggy gets up suddenly to leave.
Where are you going in this rain?
Bowling Woods.
Chapter 9. People are vampires.
The rain has turned the trail into a boggy, muddy mess, but Jug makes good time as he hikes up the steep hill through the forest. He crests the summit to find Archie, sitting on a tree stump, sopping wet, entangled in tent poles and fabric.
Every day you're still alive is a miracle.
I came up here to be alone.
That's never a wise move for you.
I'm not unable to take care of myself.
You're wrapped head to toe in a tent.
Your point?
Jug sits down next to Arch.
Figured you'd be here. It's where you always come when your head's about to explode.
And when I want to be alone?
Forget alone. You need to be with Veronica.
Archie can't believe his ears.
You can't stand Ronnie.
Jughead stands up and grabs a tent pole, trying to figure out how to disentangle his pal.
I can't stand seeing you heartbroken either.
Well, you've arrived just after the nick of time. It's too late for us.
Archie shakes his head sadly.
You feel close to somebody, and then it's like all of a sudden there's this thing coming between you, and you don't even know what. But it hits. And that feeling you get when you're with someone, I mean really with them, it just blinks out like someone threw a switch. And I don't know how to turn it back on.
Jughead takes a step back to examine his progress. If anything, Archie is more entangled than before.
Well, figure it out. Because Veronica's monster dad is plotting some fraud pageant thing, and I don't care for it.
It's raining. Why aren't you wet? Why does rain somehow always avoid you?
Stay on topic.
Jug steps forward and struggles once more with the tent.
Veronica's your true love. Betty had it right. We should be happy for you and give Veronica a chance.
People are vampires.
Pardon?
They suck all the life out of you. They act all nice and reliable, but they're really just out for themselves. Jughead Jones, a few months ago.
Yeah, well...
If somebody says, I love you, run. They're after something, and it probably isn't love. Jughead Jones, later that same month.
I am not always right.
Your batting average is extraordinary.
This is true.
You never get dirty either.
By now, Archie is inexplicably rolled up in the tent like a giant ball, half his head protruding from the fabric. Jughead hikes his foot up against its side.
Look, we have more to figure out and a banquet to get to, and we're in a hurry.
So?
Jug pushes off with his foot, and Archie goes rolling down the hill.
Chapter 10, Bar Talk.
In the Plaza Hotel Banquet Hall, Veronica Lodge, dressed in a chic formal gown, holds court like a queen for the Teen Achievement Award. Hiram Lodge watches the proceedings with satisfaction from a seat of honor on stage as Veronica steps up to the podium.
Will the candidates please join me on the stage for a final round of judging? Thank you.
Veronica readies her index cards of prepared questions as the first contestant comes out on stage, a handsome but nervous bow-tied lad who spends much of the interview staring at the floor.
And can you name an extracurricular activity you're passionate about, Max?
String quartet, definitely. I mean, I feel we're truly beginning to master bar talk, and,
Next question. What's the biggest issue our generation will face as we grow older?
I don't know. The death of string quartets?
The next candidate is a towering musclehead who makes Moose Mason look like a Rhodes Scholar.
And what would you do about world hunger, Christopher?
I just ate. Is that what you're asking?
Next.
A smug boy with perfect hair grins self-assuredly at his interrogator.
I'll be majoring in finance. The ultimate goal is to own everything I can see.
Any other interests, Jake?
Why? What would they get me?
As he leaves the stage, Veronica overhears an exchange between two candidates.
This is how speed dating must feel.
Yeah, but one way. Her Highness gets to do all the choosing.
Realization washes over her. She composes herself in time for the next candidate to take the stage. He is Carson Davenport. Tall, athletic, thoughtful-looking, the very picture of teen achievement.
Carson.
Veronica looks down at her index cards of questions, then sets them aside.
Carson, I'm curious about something. What's your version of what we're doing in this room right now?
I don't understand.
What did they tell you about this award when you took the test?
Carson looks confused.
I didn't take any test.
Veronica purses her lips and nods to herself.
Speed dating.
She offers a cheery wave to the crowd before striding over to where her father sits at the table of honor, the achievement trophy resting before him.
All handsome, no girls. This isn't at all what it's made out to be, is it?
Don't embarrass me, sweetheart. This is all for your benefit. I want you to broaden your circles beyond...
Beyond who? The riffraff? My friends?
Veronica leans in close to her father, her brown eyes blazing.
This was all a put-up so all these boys could ask me out like I'm to be pitied. And you don't have to be embarrassed?
Hiram Lodge doesn't back down.
I told you, it's for your benefit.
For a moment, father and daughter glare at each other. Then Ronnie suddenly yanks the trophy from the table and storms over to a group of candidates waiting just off stage.
You! What's your name?
Tyler.
Tyler, how many thumbs do you have?
Two.
She angrily thrusts the trophy into the wide-eyed kid's hands.
Then you're achieved! Congratulations!
Veronica? Veronica, you get back here right now!
Veronica makes her way to a back hallway where she can be alone. She leans against the wall, hugging herself.
God, is there anybody in this world who just wants me to be happy on my own terms?
She looks up to see Jughead standing near the end of the hallway.
Oh,
Great. You got to hear that.
Hang on. I need to say something. It's about Archie.
Veronica blinks, then softly nods.
Kay.
Did you ever ask him that? In those words? If there was anybody in the world who wants you to be happy on your own terms, who would that be?
There is no hint of sarcasm or irony in Jug's voice.
Because we both know what the answer is.
Ronnie looks stricken.
I've never said that to him.
Jughead reaches around the corner and rolls a giant ball of tent fabric down the hallway.
Try now.
Archiekins!
Veronica crouches beside Archie's head, protruding halfway from the tangle of tarps and tent poles.
Hi. You haven't called me Archiekins since you've been back.
I want to kiss you, but I'm not sure how.
Ronnie and Jug work to separate Archie from the tent.
Hurry up. I want to get back to the banquet.
Nah, count me out.
Veronica grins slyly.
Free food.
I can stay a little while.
Moments later, she is back in front of the audience, giving the award presentation speech. She holds up the trophy.
Sorry, Tyler. I'm pleased to re-present this Teenage Achievement Award. As my father tried to teach me, we're all going through life together, and we need to be there for each other. That made me think about what I really value. One thing is honesty. Another is the ability to see past appearances.
In the back of the audience, Jughead sips from a glass of water and nudges Archie.
You know what? She's not so bad.
The highest of compliments from you. I'll pass it on.
But most of all, I value heart. So in that spirit, there's only one person I can give this award to tonight.
Veronica brings up a large envelope.
The first annual Teen Achievement Award goes to... Jughead Jones!
Jughead spit takes water all over the back of some guy's head.
So that happened. And we thought Moose and Dilton were a weird pair. Oh, sure, it's only a matter of time before she makes a crack about his hat or he hits a nerve about being rich. But I'm going to enjoy the detente as long as it lasts. And if I was worried about having to compete for Ronnie, which I kinda was, that weight's lifted off my shoulders. There aren't many days when I feel like I could fly. So let me have this one. See you around.
Chapter 11. Dad?
Meanwhile, in the spacious Blossom home, Cheryl and Jason finally confront their father.
Just tell us!
Mr. Blossom stares grimly at his laptop on the paper-strewn coffee table, trying to concentrate on his work.
We're tired of being coy, Dad. Cheryl and I know you've been holding out on us.
Jason's right! You're having us live like paupers because you're hiding our money. Why?
Cheryl, for the last time, I'm working. This is important, and I am losing my patience.
Like you lost our fortune?
I swear to God, you kids, if your father were here, he...
Mr. Blossom stops himself and puts a hand over his mouth. The twins are stunned by the unspoken revelation.
What?
Wait. You're not a real dad?
Chapter 12. Over the Edge.
There's really only one person in Riverdale that I straight up hate. Only one who gets under my skin just by existing. His name is Reggie Mantle. Hate. I firmly believe that even the meanest people have some good in them somewhere. Reggie is the exception. He's a living plague. He gets his kicks bullying and tormenting others. He's not choosy. He'll pick on anybody not big enough to crush his head with one hand. Normally, It's all just messing with people, especially me, because Veronica and I are a little shaky still. Normally, he'll dial it back before he goes too far. This isn't a normal day.
Archie stands outside his house, admiring a classic muscle car in his driveway. His shirt is off and his chest and arms are splotched with oil.
This Mustang belonged to my grandfather, a 1969 Mach 1 Cobra Jet. He didn't so much give it to me as abandon it in our backyard, rusty and more planter than car. Even at age 8, Betty was a gearhead. She was appalled.
Betty Cooper's grease-stained hand reaches out from underneath the car.
3/8 Crescent?
Since then, it's been our side project to restore it. We work on it together whenever we both have a spare Saturday. We make a good team.
3/8!
Looking!
Archie glances over to see Veronica strolling up the driveway.
I only wish Ronnie would play along.
Hello, my football hero.
Archie goes in for a hug.
Hey, gorgeous.
Yeah, not while I'm wearing a St. Lawrence blouse, grease monkey.
It wouldn't kill you to get your hands dirty every once in a while, you know.
You'd be surprised. I had a cousin who died from a mud pack facial.
Betty wheels out from underneath the car and stands, wiping her hands on her grease-stained jeans.
Archie, you want to grab the battery out of the garage?
Sure thing, Bets.
Archie walks into the garage, leaving Betty and Veronica alone together.
I don't get it. All the money and labor you put in? Why not just buy a new car?
Are you kidding? This is a classic. 7-liter, 428 cubic inch V8 with 335 horsepower. Know what that means?
What do you think?
It means 0 to 60 in 6 seconds.
Archie walks back over with the battery and gingerly sets it in place.
Careful. Careful.
How do you get anything done with him around?
It's my fault. I'm asking a ball peen hammer to push a thumbtack.
Ow.
Ready to roll, Red?
Arch slides into the Cobra's passenger seat, pulling on his shirt. Ronnie sits in the back while Betty is behind the wheel.
I can't believe this is happening! We've been waiting 8 years for this moment! This moment!
Oh my god, this is gonna be so awesome! Strap in.
Betty takes a deep breath and turns the key in the ignition.
Archie, do you remember how I asked you to put gas in the tank?
Chapter 14. Don't beat yourself up.
The Blossom twins are in the midst of ransacking their parents' bedroom, rummaging through drawers and file cabinets.
Will you hurry, Cheryl?
Mom or that old man or both of them will be home any minute.
I can't find anything. I'm not even sure what we're looking for.
You heard our father. He's not even our real dad. How long was he going to keep that a secret?
Meanwhile, Mr. and Mrs. Blossom sit at a secluded table in a bar. Mr. Blossom stares at his glass, mentally kicking himself.
It just slipped out. It just slipped. After all this time, to be undone because I was having a rough afternoon.
Shh. Don't beat yourself up about it, dear. You have been their father practically all their lives. They'll realize that.
Well, the look of betrayal on their faces.
Mr. Blossom shakes his head sadly.
They wanted to know why we were pretending to be poor. Hiding our money from them.
And they don't ever need to know. It's none of their business where it's going. They can ask us all the questions they like, but they're still kids.
Mrs. Blossom rests her hand on her husband's and smiles.
They'll believe anything we want to tell them.
Back home in the bedroom, Cheryl is on her hands and knees, conducting a sweep under the bed. Her fingertips brush past a stack of rubber-banded envelopes marked Oswald Prison, Inmate 5827.
They'll never tumble onto the truth about their true father.